You know, when we try to look and discern what is it that God is doing in reaching a particular generation, the question that I ask and a lot of people ask is, what is it that really... And by the way, you don't need to take notes tonight, okay? Because we were supposed to have handouts, but they got lost. So Max is doing what he was created to do. He's back running the copying machine, and he's going to go down and cut those, and he's been holding back on doing this for years. He loves to do it. And so, God bless Max. Okay, so you ask, what is it that really touches? Okay, there he goes. What is it that really touches the heart of a generation? What is it that is that nerve in their heart that touches them and brings them into the presence of God? I know with my generation, the baby boom generation, the thing that touched our heart was the whole issue of a lack of purpose in our lives and the fact that we desired to have an impact in life. That it was our desire to change the world, to have a different world in which to live. And so it was through that that many of us came to Christ. The Jesus movement happened during those late 60s and early 70s, and people came into the kingdom wanting to have a purpose in life. And what is it about your generation? And I've got to say, you have already heard it tonight from Kai's testimony, from his words. Because I believe what it is that's touching the heart of this generation is a real heart desire for intimacy, for relationship, for a relationship with the Father. You know, everywhere I go, I hear students just like I, whether they were lived in Cambodia or Colorado, that they come with this emptiness in their soul that says, I need intimacy with God the Father. And that's what touches their heart. That's what it is that you guys want. You want intimacy and you want relationships. And so as I see how this sort of happens on a college campus, it seems like that across the country, there is this thing, a movement of praise among believers. Praise songs are being, you know, turned off the copy machines as fast as we can get them out of the hopper. Different songs are being written that express this desire to know God, to touch God, to be touched by Him. And so in Lincoln this year, we have a group that meets on Thursday nights also. And this year we've had about 50 students coming to the group. And so in October, some of the guys on this praise band whose hearts God has touched and given them a real desire to worship and praise God and reach out to other students and help them to know Christ, they got it in their heart to sort of pull off a campus-wide praise thing. We have a lot of Christian groups in Lincoln. We've got the Navigators and Campus Crusade and InterVarsity, UNL Christian Fellowship, Brian Church Group, and E-Free Church Group, and a bunch of other groups like that. So they contacted these groups, and they said, Thursday night, let's meet at the Fountain, which is the center of the UNL campus, and let's have a time of praise. And they didn't know what would happen, but they got together, and that night, 200 students showed up and stood outside and lifted praise to God for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And so the next month, somebody from the Berean, which Berean is a church in Lincoln, the Berean church group said, we want to do that again. So the next month, I think this was November, 300 students showed up to give praise and worship and honor to glory and glory to God. And so we came back from break in January, and so somebody put together another deal, and 400 students came together to spend an hour and a half, 2 hours, just giving praise and worship to God. And, you know, you begin to see this happen. When you've been on a campus for 23 years like I have, and on that particular campus, you have never seen anything like this except when Josh McDowell came, and that was sort of a three-night poof, and then it was gone. And you see something beginning to build and grow and touch the hearts of people. You begin to wonder, is God touching the hearts of this generation through praise? I entitled what I want to say tonight as Why Praise is Important. Notice I didn't say why praise is most important. Because I think we make a mistake in the Christian life when we find something that really gives us a buzz and we say, okay, we're going to ditch everything else. Believe it or not, when I was a student here, I know this will stretch your imagination, I got into scripture memorization. Yeah. I mean, it gave me a buzz. A lot of students around here, they had these little verse packs. Max and Sandra had made felt verse packs. This was before the days of high-tech fake leather verse packs. And they had made us these felt verse packs. And we all had these red verse packs. We were going around reviewing verses, and it's kind of like that's how God was touching our hearts through memorizing Scripture. Well, what if we had said then, well, we're not going to have a quiet time. We're just going to memorize Scripture. We're not going to witness to anybody. We're just going to memorize Scripture. Bible study? Max, are you kidding? We don't want to do Bible study. We just want to get together and review verses. And what if we reduced the Christian life to just that one thing? We would know a lot of verses. That's what about that. Probably know more than we do now. But you know, our lives would have been unbalanced. We wouldn't have really known much about evangelism. We wouldn't have known much about the overview of the whole Bible. We would have known some specific verses. But see, when you make something most important in your Christian life that God gives to you as a means of you really touching Him, then you sort of get out of balance, and that's a dangerous position to be in. So that's why I didn't call this tonight, Why Praise is Most Important. I don't believe it's most important, but I do believe it is important. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, and that's the only reference I'm going to use tonight that's not on your page, says this, that we need to learn not to exceed what is written. That's the RSV. In the New International, it says, do not go beyond what is written. And so it's kind of like the Scripture is our boundary. What God has given us in the Word is the boundary in which we live our Christian lives and grow. And I find a great deal in Scripture about praise. And after seeing God moving on our campus, I sat down and just did a study on praise that I want to share quickly with you tonight before we sort of have our classroom practical laboratory on praise. One reason why praise is important is it fulfills the purpose for which I was created. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You see, God desires that we declare His praises. We were created for that purpose. Isaiah 43:21, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. That's on the heart of God. We were created that our lives and everything about us would be of praise to Him. Secondly, praise is my destiny. Revelation 5:13. We're going to sing a song that Kevin wrote using this particular verse. This is a neat verse. It said, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. You see, that's my destiny. Where are we all going to end up? We're going to be together again if we have Christ in our hearts. We're going to be before the throne of God. It's our destiny that we would offer Him praise. The only thing that confuses me about this is every creature. It makes me wonder if our dog Princess is going to be there praising God in some way. I do believe Princess is a Christian. I get some food and I say, Princess, if you're a Christian, wag your tail. Hey, okay. Third thing, praise releases the presence of God. And you're probably familiar with this 2 Chronicles verse. The whole chapter is really good. It says, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness. They were totally surrounded by an army, in danger of being killed. They got together and Jehoshaphat decided he's going to send the choir first. And so he got them out there. And everyone was happy about that except the choir. They had a few questions about the sovereignty of God and Jehoshaphat's leadership. But it says that he sent them to praise, and as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. There's something about entering into praise and that intimacy with the Father that comes as you praise Him that releases the power of God. Third thing, or fourth thing, praise focuses my mind on God. You're probably familiar with Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It focuses my mind on that which pleases God. In Colossians 3:12, it says, since then you have been raised up with Christ, set your hearts on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things of God, not on the things of the earth. You see, praise enables you to change the focus of your life. There are certain passages in the Scripture that I go to and I read. They're passages that evoke praise from my life. And I read those and I think about the greatness of God. It's kind of like when I enter into His presence and I'm depressed, I'm sad, I'm kind of self-centered, I'm world-focused. It's all coming into me. And then I come to the Lord and I open the Word to certain passages that I found that bring me to a point of praise. And as I begin to really read that, I may still be sad. It may not change how I feel. I may still be sad, but I'm God-centered and heaven-focused. And I tell you, that makes a big difference. See, praise enables me to focus my heart and life on God. The fifth thing, praise is obedience. Psalm 22, verse 23 says, you who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor Him, revere Him, all you descendants of Israel. Revelation 19, 5, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, both small and great. See, praise is a matter of obedience. It's not a matter of feeling. I know people that the only time they want to praise God is when they feel like praising God. And yet the Bible says, no, you praise Him. It doesn't say, praise Him if you feel like it. Praise Him if you're ready to just jump out of your skin and raise your hands and go, whoa, you know. But praise Him out of a sense of obedience. My wife Mary uses, I was sitting with her once and she often does this. We were at a time of praise and I saw her just take her hands and she just had her hands like that. And I don't know if I said anything to her or not, but I thought, well, what's wrong with you? Are you just afraid to go all the way or what? But she was raising her hands like that. And later I spoke with her and I said, what's that all about? And she said, well, I'm just offering to God what's on my heart. I really didn't feel like praising God tonight. I mean, I was just saying, Lord, here I am. And she was offering Him what she was as obedience. And I think too often when it comes to praise, our praise is feeling-driven rather than obedience-driven. Six, praise is the one thing I can give God. It's one thing. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. You see, praise is something we can offer God. You know, in heaven, it's not like this. God's not up there singing, oh, I am awesome, I am holy. You know, no, God doesn't sing that. He just doesn't go about doing that. We're the ones who sing that. We're the ones who say, Lord, you're awesome. Lord, you're holy. Lord, we can give Him a sacrifice of praise. And I think that sacrifice comes when we don't feel like it. When we feel like it the least is maybe when God is pleased the most. You know, I know a lot of people that come to a time of praise and worship, and if they honestly offer their heart to God and they don't get a buzz out of it, they don't feel any better when they leave than when they come, they think that was a waste. But you know what God does? God says, that was beautiful. That was really a sacrifice of praise. Too often I think our praise isn't a sacrifice. It's just getting together and having fun and listening to music. And there's no sacrifice whatsoever involved. And yet God says the praise that I love is the praise that costs you something. Turn your page over. Number seven. Praise and thanksgiving pleases the Lord. Psalm 15 verse 8 says, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases Him. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6, really, it says, I urge then, first of all, the request, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for everyone. This is good and pleases God our Savior. See, when God looks at us, He goes and sees us praising Him from our hearts, offering to Him what's really there. He is pleased He moves toward us, and that intimate relationship with God begins to develop. And praise is a part of it. It's not all of it. It's a part of it. And I want to close with a key principle here. You see, with God, it's the heart and not the mouth that matters. Tonight, as God, we're going to praise Him in just a minute. And as we praise Him, God is not going to be listening through a microphone or through these speakers to us. He is going to have a stethoscope tuned to every individual's heart. That's what He's going to hear. And listen to what it says here in Isaiah 29:13. The Lord said, "These people come near Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. Their worship of Me is made up only of rules taught by men." Or maybe it's only of words taught by men, or choruses of taught by men. You see, the kind of praise God's looking for is that praise from your heart. He's going to be listening to your heart tonight. Matthew 15:8, Jesus said, "These people honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me." And I would just say tonight, as we enter into a time of praise, get your heart right with the Lord. If everybody else is standing and clapping and moving around, and that's not where your heart is, then I think you honor God by just being seated right where you are and just talking to Him about what's on your heart until you tune in to what's going on here. Does that make sense? See, we don't want to make hypocrites of you tonight by saying, "Oh, praise the Lord, we're going to come together and have this praise thing." No, we really want to approach God from our heart, not just our lips. In Mark 7:6, He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me.'" And you know, I hope Isaiah is wrong tonight. Jesus said the day He spoke to those people, Isaiah was right. And I'd like to say, you know, Isaiah, I was at a meeting, when I meet Isaiah in heaven, I was at a meeting in Norman, Oklahoma, and those people that night approached the Father with their heart and not just with their lips. And so I want us to ask God tonight to allow us to offer Him the sacrifice of our hearts tonight. Father, You know how tempting it is for us to just join a band and get excited about music and these songs we really love. And Lord, I just ask that each one of us tonight would offer to You what's on our heart. I pray for Kevin and the band members as they come and lead us, that God, we would experience something of Your presence tonight, that we would know You more intimately, and for sure we would know You honestly tonight as we come before You. Lord, enable us to give You the praise that You're worthy of, and enable us, Lord, to be obedient to You tonight in offering praise regardless of how we feel. Lord, just don't let us fake it. Just enable us to be who we really are tonight in Your presence. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.